All right, it's great to be with y'all this morning, and I'm going to let my wife start. She has a few things to say, and then going to turn it over to me. All yours, Red.
Really? I'll be very brief, so we can get to the good stuff. Children are such a blessing.
Yes.
I'm so thankful for our children, to be honest with you. Thankful for to the Lord, the children that he gave us. We have four children. They're a blessing. They all love the Lord. They know the Lord. They love the Lord, and they're serving the Lord. And that's a blessing, and that's to God's glory.
Amen.
He's the one that did it. They're serving the Lord where he's called them, and they're doing a wonderful job raising their children, our grandchildren, and that's what is such a blessing too. You know, when each of our kids were born, we gave them to the Lord. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know, you know, which end was up, which end was down. But you know, God has been good, as the song says. We still put them in the Lord's hands every day, pray for them every day. Just quickly, things that we do that we feel like are important for us to do for our children. First of all, we love them. We love them unconditionally. It doesn't make any difference what they do, where they are. We love them. We support them. We just let them know that we love them. You know what? They don't always make the right decision. They don't always make the right choices.
Right.
That we think they don't do that. But you know what? They're adults. They are adults. And they have to live their own lives.
Right.
We raise them to live their own lives. We let them know that we're here for them. We let them know, of course we do love them. We let them know if they need us, we're here. They have needs, just like we have needs. So we have to make sure that they know that we are here for them and encourage them. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe they're struggling. But you know what? They have to make their own decisions and make the right choices. And we just pray that God will lead them in whatever choice and decision they have to make. Next, we pray for them every day. We pray for them. More than anything else we need to do for our children is to pray for them. There's an enemy out there who wants to destroy their lives, if at all possible. But you know what? God hears and answers the prayers that we send up for him. We need to pray a hedge of protection around our children, because there is that enemy that wants to trip them up, make them do things that are contrary to what we raised them to do. So let's pray for them. And you know what? Psalm 71:1 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." We put our trust in the Lord to do what we can't do in the lives of our children.
Amen.
So don't give up. Don't give in to frustration, to things that would keep us from keeping our eyes on the Lord for our children. We need to be the role model that they need. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to trust God that he's going to do the work that needs to be done. We pray for you guys as you try to be the influence that God would have you to be for your children. And just remember, keep your eyes on the Lord. Love your kids. Pray for them. Encourage them. Be there for them.
Right.
Don't make the decisions for them that they have to make, but be there for them. If they ask your opinion, they ask your advice, give it to them. If they don't ask, don't give it.
Mm.
Okay? But love them, pray for them, and encourage them as best we can through the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Red. I am going to read a verse of scripture at Genesis, then I'm going to jump over to Psalm 127. I, like my wife said, we have four kids. And the thing about ours, they're scattered all over the world. We have 13 grandchildren. We don't get to see them very often, so when we do, we have a blast. We had our son from Taiwan home a while back, and we had the boys, and they're hanging around our house in Piddledink, and I got a big bucket of water, put it in the garage, and then I gave each of the boys a couple of squirt guns. I said, "Boys, we're going hunting." They looked at me, boy, their eyes got big. Said, "Grandpa, hunting?" I said, "Fill these squirt guns. We're going hunting." And we went hunting lizards. How many got lizards around your house? Man, they're all over the place. They're taking over our place. So we marched around the house, I don't know how many times. Boy, those boys were squirting those squirt guns. We had a blast. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to make some memories with your grandbabies and with kids. Again, we don't always get to spend a lot of time with them. But what we do, we should do with our hearts and to be a blessing to them. Let me read to you out of Genesis 2. "And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not afraid." I think way back in Genesis we find God setting the pace for us as parents. Oh my soul. We are training and preparing our kids to live their own lives, I hope. That's what we should be doing anyway. Because somewhere along the line, they're going to walk out your front door, and that'll be it. We have four kids gone. They're gone. But they're not gone. We carry them in our hearts, and I believe that they carry us in theirs. As parents, we invested time and treasure in their lives, only to see them walk away with their own lives. Now, whose idea was that? Well, according to Genesis 2, it's God's idea that they would leave and cleave to their own spouse and their own family and start their own traditions and foundation. The whole leaving thing is God's idea, God's plan. We don't always enjoy it. It's pretty obvious. Pastor Noble misses his daughter. They just shipped off to college. And we understand that. All of us do. But when we say goodbye to our kids, or they step out, they get married, they go start their own lives, there's a vacuum there, isn't there, for a time. Someone has said our great God doesn't ask of us something that he hasn't done for himself. God the Father enjoyed an eternity of fellowship with the Son, and then in love for the likes of us, sent him away into a world for 33 years that cared nothing for him. And I think our great God sometimes understands our hearts, doesn't he? And how we feel when our kids walk out the door. Psalm 127 kind of lays it out plain for us about putting our children where they need to be. "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." What you did... None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But as parents, from the get-go, we should have been investing ourselves in our children and in our walk with God and seeking to win them and love them and lead them in the way God meant them to go. Those that have done it reap the wonderful consequences of doing it by the Bible. Say, "Boy, I'm going to win my children. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to lead them. I'm going to be an example to them." You can't change the past. I know some have failed and failed miserably, but you got today and now. How important is we get God into what we're doing now? But grazing them, I my daddy, we would go sometimes to Kentucky on vacation. My dad's family was in Kentucky. And I remember we had all the family in and out of the house, kids running all over the place, having a blast. And my Uncle John, his boys, three big grown boys, were wrestling in the living room. I mean, they're pounding and jumping and rolling and banging each other. And Uncle John, I'll never forget, I was just a kid. Uncle John says, "Boys, you need to lighten up. Enough of that now. Enough of that wrestling in here." Those boys didn't pay any attention to him. They're pounding and jumping. Finally, he said, "All right, all of you, you three boys, out on the back porch now." Now, these are grown men. They have their own children, wives, family. And those boys, they turned kind of sheepish. And they walked back on that back porch and he said, "Grab that rail, all three of you." And those boys grabbed that rail. He went down and laid a swat on each one of those grown men. I was just a kid. And these are grown with their families. And I remember, I've thought about that many times. And I thought, wow, some would say that's foolish. And I couldn't help but think what an honor it was for those boys to respect their father like that, to honor him for what he had done for them. And I've never forgotten that. Chill, you raise them, you start them down here, and God will honor you. And God will bless you. And the consequences come out later in life. Thank God. Now again, I think today we need to understand who they belong to. According to the scripture, they belong to the Lord. I remember as a young man, when our babies were born, I remember sitting in the nursery, holding my firstborn, and then three more. I remember sitting in the nursery in a rocking chair and holding him up and giving him to God. I didn't know what to do. Young couple, married, God giving us children. And I said, "Lord, if you don't help us, we'll fail." And I meant that, and it's true. And we need the grace of God and the help of God in this matter of our families. But I remember it started back yonder when my wife and I realized our children were a gift from God. They belonged to Him. And so, we don't own them. You understand in your heart, Mom, you don't own your kids. Dad, you don't own them. Now, I want to tell you, you wrap your heart around that because it'll help you. They belong to the Lord. We are stewards of their physical and spiritual well-being for about 20 years. And then we better hope that we poured into them what we should have. Amen. A.W. Tozer wrote, "Everything in life which we commit to God is really safe. And everything which we refuse to commit to Him is never safe." From the get-go, our children belong to God. And in our hearts, we need to acknowledge that as parents say, "Lord, they're yours, they're not mine." And that really is a key to great joy and victory for every parent. In reality, they don't truly belong to us. God gives us children for a period of time to influence them. And they're not just plopped down in our laps as decorations. God gives us responsibilities toward our children as fathers and mothers to influence them, to love them, to guide them, to direct them, and hopefully win them to Christ. I remember when my children got saved. You remember? What a joy and a wonder it was to see our kids come to know the Lord. And it is important at the very beginning to give the child back to God, your children to the Lord. Let me give you something else first. Also, putting it off only brings regrets. You know how many people put this on the back burner? "Oh, we got a baby, I'm a busy man, making a living," and I understand those things. But boy, our priorities have to be toward our spouse and our children. And parenting happens in the busiest time of our lives. And this business of "I'll get around to the kids later" is a common mistake. Well, I ought to walk in the door. How many wonderful times we'd go in the backyard and play wiffle ball. Or we'd take the kids somewhere on a picnic. We'd do this or do that. And what a difference that makes in your family gelling together and loving one another. It is important, again, to start at the very beginning, when young, to influence them for God and make them a priority in our lives. We'll never hear somebody who's dying say, "Boy, I wish I'd spent more time at the office." But we'll sure hear him say, "Boy, I wish I'd spent more time with the kids. Wish I'd spent more time with my wife, my husband." By the time some parents discover this, it's too late to do anything about it. Now, I don't want to mean to load you with guilt. I mean to say you can make a difference now, and you need to. But listen, we better make hay while we can. Make your children a priority while you can. Say no to other things, but not to your family. Also, letting them go, and somewhere along the line, we got to let them go, don't we? Letting them go is part of God's plan for them and us. To watch them grow, to watch them go out the door, to watch them make decisions and follow God's will for their lives. We're to let them go. When our children slip out from under our roof, there's a natural sense of loss. We all miss them, and things change, don't they? Yeah, you bet they change. Things change. What can we do? Well, when our children do slip away, remember, when they go, you can't treat adult kids like babies anymore. They're grown. Hopefully, and I'm glad to say that all my children are my friends. They can call me. They know I love them, and I do love them, and I know they love me. But remember, you can't treat a grown son like he's 5 years old anymore. And we have to relinquish them. Can't treat them like kids. Also, you can't be overbearing when they slip out from under the roof and they're gone. You can't tell them what to do. You're not ruling the roost anymore, Mom. Neither are you, Dad. The fact is, we can't be overbearing and intrusive in the lives of our children when they're grown. Now, we ought to have influence and do the best we can to guide them in the right way, but let's face it, if it wasn't done back then, it's a little late to be trying to do it now. Also, don't be overpowering. Again, don't treat them like children, but trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Do you remember? Well, I remember my son Danny. He was struggling as a young teenager, and I talked to him and prayed with him, and he went to bed. But I remember getting on my knees next to that little couch in our home and crying out to God, "Please help my boy. Please help him, Father. He needs help. He's struggling." Wasn't right, and I knew it. God knew it. But I remember the great joy and great peace God gave me in my heart as I prayed and I talked to the Lord for him. I trusted God then. Hey, I need to trust him now. You need to trust God, sir. You need to depend upon God to do what he does. Love them, pray for them, look to God to help them. Trust the Lord. We trusted him then and we trust him now. Also, keep the lines of communication open. Do your best to stay in contact with your grown kids. And again, ours, family in France, family in Taiwan, family in Missouri. Missouri is like a foreign country. I mean, they're way up there, 16 hours away, and we don't get to hang out with them much. Thank God our youngest daughter and her husband are in Jacksonville teaching. But the point is, say, things have changed, haven't they? And they do. Keep the lines of communication open. Do what you can. Whether it's through, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, whether it's through phone calls or whatever.
Stay in touch with them as best you can. Also, be there when they're in trouble. What did Job say? Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. All of our children are going to face times of crisis. All of them are going to face times of sickness. All of them are going to face times of trouble. I'm not God. You're not God. But we know the God who loves them and can help them. And we need to be there when they need us. We ought to be there to help them as best we can. Also, keep loving them, even when they don't do right. Keep loving them when they make decisions that you wouldn't make. But keep loving them. By the way, in this matter of loving our kids that are outside, out from under our roof, let them know you love them. Let them know you love them. Say, honey, I want you to know I've been praying for you and I love you. Amen. They may be gone, but they ought to be confident in your heart as a mother that you love them. They ought to be confident in their heart that their daddy loves them, cares about them. Also, as they've slipped away out from under our roof, prayer is not the only thing. It's the greatest thing. I don't think we understood the great weapon and the great power we were wielding as dads and moms as we prayed for our kids. But God still hears and answers prayer. God loves us. God loves your kids a whole lot more than you do. And you say, Pastor, all I can do is pray. Well, praying for them and with them was a vital part when they were within our reach, and it still is. To pray for our children, to call them out to the Lord. I've often prayed, dear God, for thy great name's sake, please protect my children from the enemy and his lies. Only God knows how many times I prayed that simple prayer from my heart and meant it. And God hears and God answers your prayers if you pray. So pray. Once our children are gone, the only thing we can really do is pray for them. Yet the only thing we can do is always been the greatest thing we could do for them. Pray for them. Call their names out to the Lord, throne of grace. Pray for your children. Pray for those that are beyond your reach. What James say, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is that in the Bible? Yeah, it is. So as I effectively pray and diligently pray for my children, God hears and answers your prayers and mine. There are many needs that arise in the lives of our children. Health needs, provision, protection, guidance. I remember when my son Danny was in the Ivory Coast, they were in a little compound. They had a fence around their home, and they were rioting in the streets, and they were secluded in their home, and he was standing behind the gate that was locked, and there was a crowd outside the gate, and they were all speaking French, of course, and Danny had a handle on French and he could understand what they were saying, and they were saying, let's get them and kill them. And all of a sudden he heard a familiar voice. A neighbor slipped up and said, oh no, don't you touch them, they're Americans. Danny heard them say that. What they were doing is they hate the French. The Ivorians hate the French. And they were killing French people in the streets. They thought Danny and Jan were French. And boy, that crowd just dissipated. And old Danny hiked up the American flag on that flagpole. Let them all know who he was and where they were from. It made a difference. But I'll tell you what really made the difference. People here were praying for them. Churches were praying for them. Their daddy, their mama was praying for them. What a difference prayer makes. Don't you shortchange yourself. I mean, if the problem is you're not right with God, get right with God. Get Get up close to the Lord. Give yourself afresh anew to Him. Say, Lord, I may have split my britches down there, but I'm not going to split them today. I love my kids, and I want you to use me to help them and to love them. And I'm trusting you. Pray for them. Like our Lord reminded Martha, He said, this one thing is needful. And perhaps Grandpa, perhaps Daddy, Mom, that's the one thing needful in your life, to really pray. To get along with God and say, Lord, I can't touch them physically, but You can. And You can comfort, and You can guide, and You can protect and bless them. God, help us to pray for our kids. If our children, may I say, are walking with God, most of the stuff will fall into place. Winning our children, them stepping out, getting married, starting their own homes, or just getting moving away. God has a plan for them. And God will work in their hearts and work in their lives. Our confidence is in the Lord. And as our children learn to trust Him, and they're going to learn just like you learned, just like I learned to trust Him, they're going to find out God's real. And God will bless them, and God will use them, and God will help them. Oh, God promises to answer our prayers. Our children may be hundreds of miles away, gathering with the Lord at the throne of grace, though. Isn't it wonderful to know we meet with God and them there at that throne of grace? There is a wonderful sense of security that God will do what He promised to do in answering our prayers and looking out for the ones we hold dear and that we love. We did something strange the other day. I don't understand it, but we FaceTimed with all our kids, except Danny. Danny was in France. The time was out of whack. We couldn't get... We had Sarah. We had John. We had Katie and us. And there's all our mug shots on this little thing. And we're just talking away, having a blast, laughing and cutting up and reminding each other that we love one another. What a blessing. I remember calling the kids when they're on the field, and we'd watch the time. All right, we need to get off the phone. Cost us an arm and a leg. You remember those days? And then, but boy, isn't it wonderful, the progress and the wonderful things we can do now together as families and with our loved ones. Thank God for it. As best as we can, when our children are gone, we need to take the initiative in staying close together as couples. Sometimes suddenly the kids are gone and we wonder what happened. Should have always been a friend to your wife. Always been a friend to your husband. When the kids are gone, we find out how precious and important that is. My best friend next to the Lord Jesus is my wife. And I'm glad we didn't start being friends when the kids left. We've been friends all along. How about you? Is your sweetheart your best friend? Oh, I hope so. She should be. We need to do what we can to stay close together and in touch. And with the kids especially, I don't know what you can write birthday cards. We call them on their birthdays and sing happy birthday to them, hoot and holler. And Christmas, getting together if possible, but doing special things for them, Skyping, writing, FaceTiming, doing what you can to stay in communication with the kids that are gone. Again, mine are all over the world, but I'm glad we can still touch them. And they can still touch us. Also, plan for the children to return. Do you ever plan for them to return? Well, I want to tell you something. I enjoy it when our kids walk back through the door. It's total chaos. Man, they'll come in with all those grandbabies. We scatter, we camp them out. We scatter them all over the house. We have a 3-bedroom house, and we fill it all up when they're all there. And we have a great time. They're welcome. They know they're welcome. They know we love them. And we enjoy having them around. They ought to know that. Plan for your children's return. It's great to maybe take a vacation together. One of the best times we ever had is we rented a cottage up in the Smokies. And all our kids, except Danny, I don't think Danny was there. Everyone else was there. Boy, did we have a blast. It was so much fun. But plan to do those things. You can't do everything, but man, they ought to know they're welcome when they step across the threshold of your home, that you love them, that you cherish them, that, man, we're just glad you're here and we love you. Plan times together, perhaps a vacation, perhaps an Airbnb big enough for everybody. Roll your coins. What can I say to you? Amen. And then also, as parents, keep your priorities right. Again, things are different now, aren't they? Yeah, more ways than one. A new chapter has begun as our kids grow older and establish their own homes. And as couples, it's important to remember one another while the children are at home, because the children won't always be at home, right? So be friends. Enjoy each other now, because when the kids are gone, she's the one that matters the most. He's the one that matters the most. May I encourage every couple to spend time in the Word of God together, to pray together, to serve the Lord in your church together. Yeah, you're right, the kids are gone, but God's still here. Our responsibilities to the Lord and to our church and to one another as a couple are still here. So you serve the Lord together and walk with God. And God will bless you. Pray together. My wife and I still read the Word together and pray together. My granddaughter stayed with us about 6 weeks before she had to go back into the dorm. She'd sit there. We'd read the scriptures together and pray and sing. She wasn't used to it, but we had a blast indoctrinating her. And we had a good time together. We loved her, enjoyed it. But I encourage every parent, every mom, every dad, keep your priorities right. Walk with God. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in church. Stay faithful. And stay close together as best you can. And love one another. And then, may I say, parenting is forever. Parenting's forever. Our roles and what we do may be in a different degree. I read about in 1992, in the Summer Olympic Games, Derek Redmond was running and he violently pulled his hamstring close to the end of the race. And everyone was gimping and limping. And when it looked like he wasn't going to make it, his father pushed through the tape on the side of the run and went up and gathered his son around his arms and helped him across the finish line. I kind of think that's my job. That's your job, sir, to help your kids across the finish line. As a man, as a mother, to help your kids across the finish line. We're not done. We're not done. We're here to help them and love them and be an example to them. Isn't that what our Heavenly Father did for us? And doesn't He do that for us? He helps us to do what we need to do and to finish well. And we're to help our kids as best we can to finish well. What can you do for your kids? We're all different, aren't we? And yet as Christians, we're all the same. We have a great Heavenly Father who loves us more than we can imagine. Cares a whole lot more for our kids than we do. We just need to walk with God and ask God to make us a blessing. Father in heaven, we're thankful for our kids. We know that things have changed and they're not as close physically as they were or have been. But I thank you that across the world today, they're as close to you as they've ever been. And I pray that you'd help us as parents to be the blessing you'd have us to be. Help us to stay in touch. Help us to assure them that we care, that we love them. Please help us, Father, as parents, to walk with you. Help us to love you. Help us to honor you, Lord. Please grant it, Father. Thank you for all these couples, Lord. And we want to just praise you and thank you for our kids. What wonderful things you used our children to teach us. What wonderful lessons we derive from just having them bounce on our knee and raising them up in our homes. What wonderful blessings our children have been to us. Now, Lord, help us to be a blessing to them. We love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.